Shabbat Shalom. This week's parsha is entitled Naso, which means to elevate or lift up. It covers Numbers chapter 4, verse 21 to chapter 7, verse 89. Now, you probably won't find the words elevate or lift up in your Bible. Most likely you have something like take a census of the sons of Gershom as the start to verse 22. However, if we look at the Hebrew, which is Naso et Rosh b'nei Gershom, it means elevate the heads, meaning take a census of the sons of Gershom, which is the start of this passage. Now, this is one of those passages that's filled with numbers and details. There's a lot of packing up and a lot of unpacking. So you might think it's a rather boring parsha, but when we look into it, we discover that there are many nuggets of truth that we can take away. Now, Levi is the third son of Jacob. Levi had three sons, Gershom, the oldest, then Kohath, and finally Merari, the youngest. The Levites were responsible for various work regarding the tabernacle or the Mishkan, and we'll discuss that later. But only Aaron and his sons could actually perform the worship service, which is called Avodah in Hebrew, as well as the sacrifices. Now, Aaron is the grandson of Kohath. So right there, we get some lineage. Before we get into the actual numbers of the census of the sons of Levi, we are told what the duties are for each of these families. The duties are explained as if we were looking at the Israelis getting ready to pack up camp and head to a new location. The Kohathites were responsible for covering and moving the sacred objects of the tabernacle, such as the Ark of the Covenant, the Table of the Bread of Presence, and other sacred bowls and implements. Therefore, they went into the deepest part of the tabernacle. Next, the Gershonites were responsible for removing all the woven material, such as the curtains of the tabernacle and the tent of meeting and all the associated coverings, etc. And lastly, the Merarites had the heaviest job of dismantling the framework of the tabernacle and the outer court. When a new destination was reached, the work order was opposite, with the Merarites putting up the framework of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and the outer court. Next, the Gershonites would put up all the relevant coverings, and then the Kohathites would move in the sacred objects. We're also told that this work was to be done by the men of these families who were between the ages of 30 and 50. So with those parameters, we find out that with the census at this time, there were 2,630 Gershonites, 2,750 Kohathites, and 3,200 Merarites, which makes a total of 8,580 that can serve in this capacity. Now, the text does not make it clear whether all these men served at the same time whenever dismantling the tabernacle or building the tabernacle, the tent of meeting and the outer court was required. But it still struck me as what a massive undertaking it must have been to do these tasks. Later on, King David split up the work of the Levites into 24 courses, 24 sections, each course being a group that would work at the temple for a certain period of time. And you can find that in 1 Chronicles chapter 23. Now, in chapter 6, we read about the law of the Nazarite. The word Nazarite should not be confused with Nazarene, which means a person from Nazareth. Rather, Nazarite means someone who is separated or consecrated. This person would dedicate himself or herself to the Lord for a certain period of time, usually 30 to 100 days. During this time, one who took the vow of the Nazarite could not drink wine or grape products, could not cut their hair, and could not have any contact with a dead body. If any of these conditions were not met during the period of the vow, the person would have to start the time period over again. They would have to wait 7 days, dedicate themselves on the eighth day, and then begin the 30-day or however long a time period it was after that. Although there were such people such as Samson and the prophet Samuel who were lifelong Nazarites, it was more common for this commitment to be a specific amount of time. At the end of chapter 6, we read about the Aaronic blessing, which is recited at times by our rabbis, verses 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Traditionally, in the ancient days, this blessing was recited after the morning sacrifices at the tabernacle and then later at the temple. In chapter 7, we read about two offerings, one for the service of carrying the coverings in the framework of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting in the outer court, and the other offering as a dedication offering to the altar. For further explanation on the different types of offerings, please see Leviticus chapters 1 through 6. It seems that the reason the same text regarding the offerings of each tribe is listed by tribe is to demonstrate that no tribe gave more and no tribe gave less. They all gave the same amount in a demonstration that all tribes were equal in this area. So, what can we take away from today's parsha? First, I think we can learn about the division of labor from the example of the work performed by the Gershonites, the Kohathites, and the Merarites. Have there been times at work when someone has tried to do your job or you have tried to do somebody else's job? Sometimes this is necessary, but many times we need to focus on the tasks that are ours. This is also especially true in marriage. So many times husbands and wives will step into an area which is owned by the other person, and this can cause anger or resentment. Now, of course, I'm speaking about situations where help has not been asked or sought. Let's take a quick example. Let's say either the husband or the wife has been tasked with saving for the family vacation, and it's going to take a year to save up, and that person is diligently saving. But suddenly, about month 9, the other spouse sees something like a nice set of golf clubs or a new appliance, and they kind of forget about the savings aspect and go out and purchase it, thus using up the money spent for the vacation. These are types of examples of certain responsibilities being encroached upon. Another thing I think we can take away from this parsha is the seriousness with how we should dedicate ourselves to serving the Lord, like the Nazarites. Of course, there is no need for us today to take the Nazaritic vow, but we should serve the Lord with wholehearted dedication. And we should want to do that, not feel like it is something forced or obligated. And lastly, the Aaronic blessing should remind us of the blessings that we receive each and every day from the Lord, like this sunshine, like this beautiful day. Even in times of difficulty, we need to remember that he loves us and that through accepting his precious son, our Messiah, no matter how difficult life can be on this earth, there is a future of eternity in heaven without any of the tears or problems that we might face in this life. Shabbat shalom.